The Road, Disc 4.
When he woke, the gas lamp overhead was hissing softly. The bunker walls were there in the light, and the boxes and crates. He didn't know where he was. He was lying with his coat over him. He sat up and looked at the boy, asleep on the other bunk. He'd taken off his shoes, but he didn't remember that either. And he got them from under the bunk and pulled them on and climbed the stairs, and pulled the pliers from the hasp, and lifted the door and peered out. Early morning. He looked at the house, and he looked out toward the road, and he was about to lower the hatch door again when he stopped. The vague gray light was in the west. They'd slept the night through and the day that followed. He lowered the door and secured it again, and climbed back down and sat on the bunk. He looked around at the supplies. He'd been ready to die, and now he wasn't going to. And he had to think about that. Anyone could see the hatch lying in the yard, and they'd know at once what it was. He had to think about what to do. This was not hiding in the woods. This was the last thing from that. Finally, he rose and went to the table and hooked up the little two-burner gas stove and lit it and got out a frying pan and a kettle and opened the plastic box of kitchen implements. What woke the boy was him grinding coffee in a small hand grinder. He sat up and stared all around.
"Papa," he said.
"Aye. Are you hungry?"
"I have to go to the bathroom. I have to pee."
He pointed with a spatula. There was a chemical toilet in the corner behind a curtain. He didn't know how to use it, but they'd use it anyway. They weren't going to be here that long, and he wasn't going to be opening and closing the hatch any more than they had to. The boy went past, his hair matted with sweat.
"What is that?" he said.
"Coffee, ham, biscuits."
"Wow,"
the boy said. He dragged a footlocker across the floor between the bunks and covered it with a towel and set out the plates and cups and plastic utensils. He set out a bowl of biscuits covered with a hand towel and a plate of butter and a can of condensed milk, salt and pepper. He looked at the boy. The boy looked drugged. He brought out the frying pan from the stove and forked a piece of browned ham onto the boy's plate, and scooped scrambled eggs from the other pan, and ladled out spoonfuls of baked beans, and poured coffee into their cups. The boy looked up at him.
"Go ahead," he said. "Don't let it get cold."
"What do I eat first?"
"Whatever you like."
"Is this coffee?"
"Yes, here. You put the butter on your biscuits like this."
"Okay."
"Are you all right?"
"I don't know."
"Do you feel okay?"
"Yes."
"What is it?"
"Do you think we should thank the people?"
"The people?"
"The people who gave us all this."
"Well, yes, I guess we could do that."
"Will you do it?"
"Why don't you?"
"I don't know how."
"Yes, you do. You know how to say thank you."
The boy sat staring at his plate. He seemed lost. The man was about to speak when he said,
"Dear people, thank you for all this food and stuff. We know that you saved it for yourself, and if you were here, we wouldn't eat it, no matter how hungry we were. And we're sorry that you didn't get to eat it, and we hope that you're safe in heaven with God."
He looked up.
"Is that okay?" he said.
"Yes, I think that's okay."